Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome in to the Scout Fantasy Masters Preview. I am the Fantasy Executive, Corey Parson. Of course, as always, you can follow me on Twitter, at the Fantasy Exec. Take some of that time, too. Also, if you haven't done it already, give Scout Fantasy a follow on Twitter, at Scout Fantasy. Before we get into it and start breaking down and get ready for the Masters, a DFS special, then we're going to get into it, my guy Sean Childs. A couple quick things, what's going on over at Scout Fantasy right now. Of course, if it's the Masters, that means we're just past opening day. DFS baseball taking off right now. Tommy G in the premium forums each and every day giving you his daily fantasy rundown. And, of course, also our content by Nate Wester helping you every night to get ready for the 2016 fantasy baseball season DFS style, whether you're playing on DraftKings or FanDuel, fade, stacks, value plays. The guys bring it out each and every night, and I let you know right now that both of them have been off to a hot start this season. So if you're not already a member, sign up and subscribe to that because that's definitely where it's at. Matt Brandon still getting it done, winding down the fantasy basketball season. That DFS advice is also out there, not to mention each and every Saturday in the premium forums, Saturday and Sunday. No matter what day the race is, you can also get your NASCAR advice, so we got you covered. DFS style, fantasy football drafts are already in the lobby if you want to get that started before the NFL draft kicks off. Not to mention the fact, ScoutFantasyScout.com, full coverage of the NFL draft. But right now, we're here to talk to you about the Masters, and I got my guy with me, Sean Childs. And, of course, you definitely have to go over to Fantasy right now, get his Masters cheat sheet. And, Sean, I'll tell you why I need to get your Masters cheat sheet, because if I'm not mistaken, you flirted with the top of the leaderboard in this same Masters event last year, didn't you?
You know, it's been so long ago. I could have been in the hunt. I might have been there. You get mashing all these baseball seasons and football seasons all together. I think I made a run, and maybe just all the pieces. You know, you can be in golf. You can be right there on Sunday, and a couple guys go bogey, and you can drop like a rock. So, you know, it's just something that you want to, You know, I think it's one of the best events at DraftKings. You know, you got, I think they said there's about 88, 89 golfers. There's probably about 15 to 20 that are really like amateurs, older golfers that really don't have a chance of winning. So you're down to 60 guys, and 60 guys is a pretty good chance of winning $1 million, I think.
Now, when you went and you sat down and you put this cheat sheet together, like I said, that you can get over right now at Scout Fantasy, what kind of was your thought process going into it, and what is it that you're trying to help the users, the guy who signs up for the subscription? This is probably more for not the guy going with a single bullet in the tournament. This is for the player that's going for the multi-entry, you're trying to take down a nice prize, correct?
Yeah, but I think in golf somebody definitely, can. I think last year, maybe somebody would have won it with a single bullet. I think the goal is, You know, it's hard for me to, I'm a pretty much, I wrote about baseball and football, and I like the concept of the golf because it doesn't pound you over the head of like daily baseball. But, I want to get a feel for all the players. Do they have a history of the Masters and how well they played? I want to see if I can identify. I feel as though, if anybody that can, A, who possibly can win, and B, who can maybe possibly finish in the top 15 or 20, because I think you need all six guys to make the cut, and most likely they're going to have to finish probably in that top 15, top 20 area, your back-end guys, for you to have any chance. So you need six guys to play pretty damn well to have a chance to win $1 million. And, it seems pretty, when you look at it, like, all this, Jason Day, Bubba Watson, Spieth, Adam Scott, and Rory, one of those five are going to win, right? But it's just not that easy, and somebody else might come off the page. So, like I said, it's getting in tune with the player pool, and then to see how well they've done there, and just kind of get a feel for if they're playing if they're playing well. It's almost like Kentucky Derby, when you get to that big race, that horse has to be running, playing well or running well to have a chance. And I think the golfers that are playing well have a little more value in this.
No doubt. And I want to touch on a couple of quick points just now about some of the things you just mentioned. Me being a novice at it, just throwing out a couple lineups every week, looking at, some of your work, looking at some of the work that Chris Carosi does over on Scout Fantasy, try to throw a lineup out there. For the most part, a GPP style, but I'm only putting a couple bucks behind it, not really into it. You know, if I can't do my own research and my own work, throw a little landscape like that. But I hear a lot of people talking about a golfer's form. Now, you know, we have the experts come on the shows, whether it's like SiriusXM Fantasy, or, you know, around the industry, you hear guys talking about their form, a golfer's form. What exactly is form, and how does it play into this tournament?
Well, like last year when you know, we're coming into the Mathis, you know, Spieth, you know, he came in first, second, and second. He was like 33 under par in his previous events, and he went into the Masters on fire, and he came out on top. And then, you know, this year he's got a 17th, 18th, 17th, 13th. He looks close, and he could flip the switch because he won two events at the beginning of the year. So, you know, when you look at him, he doesn't look like he's in form, where Jason Day has won back-to-back events. He looks sharp. He looks like he's coming in home. You know, Adam Scott's won a couple of events this year and even a second, I think, and he played really well in 3 weeks in a row. But golfers, you know, I think they're kind of streaky, and they, you know, when they're putting well and they're in a good mindset, you know, things are going well. When they start to, you know, press a little bit and they're a little off the pace, you know, things aren't going as well. So it's just, you know, I don't think Rory's got it all together right now, but he looks close, and any of these guys, you know, any of the top few golfers could probably flip the switch and make a nice run. And I think the weather is going to be a factor, so that's going to change a lot of things here too.
I wanted to get into it with you and talk about course history and how important that is at Augusta National, but you just mentioned the weather. What's the situation like with the weather this weekend, and who does it benefit?
I'm thinking that it's they say it's going to rain tomorrow. It's going to be kind of cold in the morning. I think it'll probably be about 75 midday, and it's going to be around close to 19 to 20 mile hour winds, and I think the wind is going to be a factor on Friday and Saturday as well. So I think that obviously players that have played the course before and have experience are going to have some sort of advantage, and I kind of think that maybe some European golfers that get undervalued that are used to playing on links course or maybe windy conditions that will have some sort of advantage, especially if the winning score is closer to par. Like last year was minus 18 and the runner up was minus 14. It was kind of a shootout, which favored the top dogs because they probably could take a lot of advantage on the par fives there. So I think that it could be interesting, especially posting a solid score in a rainy, cold, windy condition on Thursday. I mean, there's some guys that, you know, Rory or anybody, they struggle out of the gate. It's a long way to the finish line.
No doubt. Now, when we talk about Augusta National and just DFS golf in general, like I said, myself being a novice, I know that one of the first things we talk about is form, then it's course history. Besides form and course history, especially when you're dealing with the Masters and Augusta National and a tournament of this size from a DFS standpoint, over on DraftKings, after you get past your form and your course history, what's next for, you know, guys doing their research, getting ready for the event, guys looking at your cheat sheet, what's next for them after those two factors right there when it comes to taking into consideration the golfers you put in your lineup?
I think that you want to, you know, obviously be long off the tee so you can create birdie opportunities, especially on the par fives. Bubba's won two out of the last 4 years, and he's kind of, you know, a lefty that can really crank it up. He can hit a long fade, but he has a good swing for that course. But, you know, being long off the tee, creating, shorter irons into the greens, on Thursday where it's a little wet, you probably can get away with some, you know, the greens are going to be, you know, when the ball hits, it's going to stick a little bit better. But I definitely, the players that can putt really well and that can handle the fast greens, especially on the weekend when it dries out, are going to be the guys that probably have success. So long off the greens, you know, probably, you know, and putt well. But, you know, you're still going to have to put yourself in a position on the green to create birdie opportunities with your pro shot. So, it's a real interesting course, and it has a long history, and that's what everybody gets excited about.
No doubt. Now, when you speak of the weather situation, I guess when you're creating lineups, and I guess, you know, you have multiple entries and stuff like that, when weather being a factor maybe on Thursday and Friday, but then again not being a factor on Saturday and Sunday, how does that make you work your lineups? Because clearly if some players are better in, you know, the more windier conditions, well, you may not have those conditions come the weekend, and you only get to set your lineup once.
Yeah, I think you're just gonna, you're just gonna have, basically, play the best players you think that have some history there and go with that, and hopefully they can deal with the weather. You might, if it's a tiebreaker between somebody at, 6,500 or 7,000, whatever, and a couple of players, maybe you would lean towards experience rather than, a first-time player. But I mean, I definitely think playing the course is going to be helpful, and and like I said, if it's a, the European players might be able to grind it out a little bit more, especially if the scores are low. And experience is big in this event as well.
No doubt, and I definitely now want to talk about one of the things I've heard a lot of golf analysts say this upcoming week, as I'm reading and researching and stuff like that, and I believe you mentioned it right when we started. It's only a select handful of golfers that can actually win at the event. So I want you to kind of handicap some of the guys for me and let me know what some of your exposure will be. I want to start off with the favorite to win the tournament. That is Jason Day. He's coming in at 7-1.
Yeah, Day is playing really well. Like, he won back-to-back tournaments. He's putting well. He's won, I think, five or six of his last 13 tournaments. He's, I think, over that span, over I think over his last, what is he, minus 144 over his last 48 rounds. That's pretty impressive, right? In his last 12 events. So he's just really playing really well. He's putting well. He ranks highly in that. He's had a couple of events at the Masters where he's dealt with injuries. So, his resume isn't as stellar as that you would like to see, but I mean, he is, definitely on top of his game. I mean, he's missed the cut once out of his last, 15 events or so. I mean, I don't have the exact number in front of me, but I mean, he's just in form. He's a top player. He's got a lot of momentum going for him, and I'm sure he would love to win this tournament.
Coming up next is Jordan Spieth at 8-1 and Rory McIlroy at 8-1. Both of those guys coming in are second right now as far as the odds makers in Las Vegas are concerned. What do you think about those two players going into this weekend's event?
Yeah, Spieth is, like I said, he just seems like he's been off for the last. He missed a cut in February. He shot a 79 in the first round, followed by a 68. He just looked like he was just a little off. After, he started the year with winning the Hyundai Classic, and he won one in September. He really kind of took the fall off, and he just hasn't got clicking yet. I mean, he's been four tournaments, he's been in the top 20. But he's only been about nine under par for the four events. But the match play obviously doesn't give you the plus minus scores with it because they don't sometimes complete the holes. But I mean, he is the guy. I mean, he came in second and first, and he just seemed like he just ran away. What did he have? 26 or 27, 28 birdies last year, and at the Masters, that's pretty impressive. He's as good as they get. Rory is just 2 weeks ago had the lead, or maybe it's 3 or 4 weeks ago. Sorry, he had the lead going into Sunday, and he just was pressing, struggled on Sunday, and he followed up the next week that he made like six double bogeys. So all his mistakes, really penalized him, and he really struggled, but. He hits the ball far. He's seventh in driving distance, and pretty accurate. His putting is probably a little behind where it should be, but he's a guy that has all the talent in the world, and he just has to kind of click on Sunday. But and maybe he's a guy that where the weather is less of a factor for him because he's grown up over in Ireland and playing in all the bad the bad stuff over there.
Up next is the name that I'm hearing a lot of people getting ready for this weekend's competition. The talk is Bubba Watson. Bubba Watson comes in at 10-1. I'm thinking when I put a couple of my lineups together, I'm going to give a couple cracks at this one. I'm thinking Bubba Watson's a player that I'm going to be kind of one of my core players to build around.
Watson is an interesting guy. I mean, obviously the course favor him. He had two titles in the last 4 years. He has a win this year and second in his last three tournaments. He's playing pretty well, but if things get bad for him, he has a little bit of fade to him where, he might not give it all his all, which is makes him an interesting, in the hunt or bust play for you. So, he's definitely, like I said, he's, two out of three, he's right there. He's won, last 3 years, he won over $6 million 2 years in a row. He's off to a good start this year. He has a good history there. He's fourth on the PGA, hits it well over 300 yards. His putting can be suspect a little times, but I mean, he's, you know, this course hits him, and in those par fives, are, he has a huge advantage. And, you know, his swing path really works well there. So he's in the mix for sure. You know, like you said, you know, you work around the big five, and you know, you're going to find the rest. Even if they don't win, you figure a couple of them will be in the hunt as well.
Adam Scott comes in at 12-1, and Dustin Johnson's at 15-1, and that's more or less our overall favorites for this one. What do you think on the two, the last two guys I mentioned?
Scott, really, you know, last year it was concerns that he had switched to that anchored putter, and he wasn't going to be able to use it anymore. He was kind of going back and forth. He had no rhythm, and then he went, and then when he had to go to the regular putter, you know, there was a lot of concerns that he would fail, but he came in second in October. He followed it up with a second in early February, and then back-to-back wins, and he came in 12th and 33rd in the match play. So he's playing on the uptick. He has a Masters title. He's really surprised because he on the tour this year he's like 44th in strokes gained putting, which is pretty good for considering where he would, you know, it's come from. So he's definitely in form, has a history there. And he, over his last six events at the Masters, he's minus 24, which is a pretty impressive number. So Scott is a, like I said, he's a really good golfer, has some length to him, and I like him a lot. You know, Dustin Johnson, obviously has all the talent in the world. He just, you know, when he gets in those big moments, he just seems like he just can't, you know, finish the job. Unfortunately, last week I think he came in third. I guess from what I didn't follow too close. I was in Vegas for the baseball drafts, but I guess he had a hole that was a pretty 110-yard shot, pretty easy shot, and he dumped it in the water, which was pretty much probably cost him a chance at winning the tournament late in the fourth round. But he can drive it a mile. He putts pretty well at times. He's not really doesn't have a great history there, but I mean last year he had three eagles on one round, but he's definitely has the talent and the skill set where he definitely could win this event. It's just a matter of him having the mental thing and on the fourth round to be able to finish and avoiding some of the bad rounds when he tends to blow up.
If you had to pick one golfer out of the next group I'm about to name that had a chance to come away with this thing and get a W, Ricky Fowler, Phil Mickelson, Henrik Stenson, and Justin Rose. Give me two of those guys that you think have a good shot at taking this thing down.
I kind of, when I did the write-up for Stenson, as well as he's played, it just seems like he doesn't have a great history at the Masters. So I kind of, he's not a guy that I would, target. Last year he finished like minus four for the first time in his career for four rounds, but in 34 rounds in his career, he's only shot twice under 70. And, so he doesn't have, a great where you think that he can win it. But, I mean, he can hang around, obviously, and be in the top 20. But when you're paying full price, he's kind of difficult to use for me. It seems like Phil Mickelson is really kind of – I wish his salary was about $1,000 cheaper because he would be a lot more interesting. But where he's 10-5, I mean, he's definitely going to have to be in the top three. He's playing pretty well this year, has a history there. He's driving the ball pretty well. He's, you know, almost 300 yards, 40th in the the PGA, and even putting well, where he's 12th in strokes gained putting, which is pretty impressive considering how much he kind of struggled last year. So I think Phil Mickelson, and I think the weather would probably be to his advantage because he's played in, you know, a lot of, you know, British Opens and different kind of events. So I think Mickelson would be intriguing to me. Fowler, he's always seems like he's the hot ticket, you know, going to win it. Last year he came in there, he came up flat. He's playing pretty well this year. So I would say that Fowler and Mickelson would be in the mix for me. I'd probably fade Stenson. And what were the other two? You said Rose and
– Yeah, so I'm sorry. Let me get back to that page. It was Rose and we already talked about Dustin Johnson, didn't we?
Yeah, so Rose – So, you know, Rose is like minus 22 over his last 24 rounds of the Masters, which is pretty impressive. He's you know, came in second in 2015, eighth in 2012, fifth in 2007. So he has a different decent history. I don't think he's as on his form as he has been in the past, but he's definitely, you know, has the skill set to be a contender for sure.
Now, I'm going to pull up the cheat sheet right now. Of course, scoutfantasy.com is the thing place for the 2016 PGA DFS Masters cheat sheet with my guy, Sean Childs, who I'm speaking with right now, getting ready for this big event. I noticed you have the players kind of, you know, color-coded in tiers, do a good job with that, help people get ready for this event. In yellow, you have the upside players that kind of have, you know, the upside guys that might take on a little bit of risk if you roster them. We talked about some of the favorites, some of the top options, some of the solid options. The guys with the upsides, can you maybe throw me a couple guys with upsides that you think are trending in the right direction right now?
Well, I always think this guy, Brooks Koepka, I think that's how you Koepka, however
you
pronounce his name.
Yeah.
Sorry. Yeah. He this guy is just like, he's just really, really close to being an elite player. Last year, he played in all four majors. He came in 18th in the U.S. Open, 10th in the Open Championship, 5th in the PGA Championship. You know, and I think he was 33rd in the Masters. So, he played pretty well in all majors. His salary is $8,100, which is, you know, a couple thousand below. He hits the ball a mile. He's ninth in driving distance. Struggles sometimes with the fairway, but he's 43rd on, you know, strokes going game putting. So, you know, he has two of those factors. If he can hit it long and putt well, he has a short chance of being in the hunt. And if he just keeps his mistakes from being double bogey. So I think, you know, he is definitely at the $8,100 range is definitely a player that would be in play for me. Kind of think maybe Kuchar hasn't, you know, done much lately, but he has a pretty good history there. And he's 7,800. And, you know, where he's kind of flying under the radar when you're looking to – if you take one of the top, players and you can, you know, slide him in as maybe the 3-4 and maybe not cheat the back end so much, I think he's a guy that, you know, really would love to win the Masters, has some history, you know, in that area. And he would love, to add that to his resume. He came in third in 2012, eighth in 2013, fifth in 2014. And, you know, he missed the cut, I believe, last year. He made the cut in the last six times. But, I mean, so he's played pretty well there. He just doesn't hit it as far. He putts pretty well and usually stays out of trouble with some, by keeping the ball in play. But he's definitely a guy, I think, that may surprise at the back end for sure and fits that profile where you think he could finish possibly in the top 15.
Ian Poulter is at 7,200 on DraftKings. Lee Westwood is at 7,300. Both guys you have on the cheat sheet as possible upside plays. What do you think about those two before we get into our lineup build?
Westwood has a great history there, especially over the last nine events of the Masters. He's minus 25 in 32 rounds with six finishes in the top 12. But last year, he made the cut, but he finished in the back end of the tournament. But this year he hasn't played any many events because he gave up his PGA Tour card and he missed the cut, I think, a couple over in Europe. And I think he played in one of the World Golf Championship events. And, he hung around, I think, maybe Garcia beat him in one round and he lost at that double elimination tournament. But anyways, so he hasn't had a lot of golf and he isn't in form, you would think. So he's kind of making that bet on his history. And maybe, like I said, he fits that European profile where he, maybe the weather works in his favor. So especially if the scores are a little lower. So I definitely think he's interesting. Poulter played pretty well last year. I think he finished in the top 10 for sure. He's a guy that, you know, European guy that you're kind of looking for that's steady and has experience. The European guys tend to be, you know, priced a little lower, you know, probably due to their inconsistencies from week to week. But he played pretty well, I think, last week there at the Houston Open. No, 2 weeks ago at the Puerto Rican Open, I think he played pretty well. But so he's just one of those European guys and, you know, has a pretty good resume. And I think that he could just hang around, you know, possibly not, I don't think he's going to win it, but definitely a chance at a top 15 finish.
2016 DFS Masters cheat sheet is live right now on Scout Fantasy. Got a few hours to go. Well, you got plenty. Well, the tournament kicks off, lineups locked tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. You get a full 18 hours to review the cheat sheet. listen to the podcast, and make a run at your own fantasy tradition in the Masters DFS Millionaire Maker on DraftKings. All right, Sean, we got about 5 minutes to go in the podcast. I'm going to sit down right here as a New Yorker. I will not be able to enter this lineup in any contest. You don't have to give us one of yours, but let me just go through the process which you're putting the lineup together.
All right. I'll bring up the screen, and I'll be sitting in front of it. So, you know, they're at, I think, 127,000. They got 229 to fill it. So somebody will be shoving in a lot of money in the next, 15 hours?
I heard my boy Tommy G say earlier today on the Scout Fantasy Show on SiriusXM that between 2 a.m. and about 5, between 2 a.m. and 6 a.m., that's when you'll see the bulk of the people begin to jump in the tournament to be filled about that time.
Yeah, I think it'll move. It'll move tonight when people get home, especially on the East Coast, and they start thinking about it. So, yeah, I mean, it's been going steady. It's gone up. You know, I've been watching it all day. I just haven't. I've been working a little bit, so I haven't had time to enter the lineups. So I think that for me, you want me to give it from my point of view what I would try to do?
Yeah, from your point of view, because this is not really my thing.
Yeah, so I would. I'm going to focus and try to get, you know, on the big five golfers, and I got to figure one of those top five golfers is in the hunt for sure and possibly win it. But I'm going to try to pair him with one of the other top 10 golfers or so, top 12 golfers. Obviously, if I'm going to pair Spieth with McIlroy, I'm going to have to, you know, I can't. I'm going to have to really drop down as my third option. I'm going to try to, if I can put two really good golfers in, then I'm going to try to slide in that, you know, that Koepka area where I can get, him, maybe, Jimmy Walker, Patrick Reed, Sergio, you know, and that type of player in there, you know, even, you know, Kuchar and stuff like that, and maybe get one of those and then try to find three golfers in the back end where I'm going to mix in, maybe I can mix in six guys and depending on how many teams I can put in there and try to, you know, hopefully three of them can make the cut and, you know, maybe two of them play pretty well. I mean, obviously the goal is to, maintain your bankroll if you're going to put multiple entries in, but the first goal is getting, you know, all six, to be playing on the weekend.
All right, well, there you have it right there. That is the strategy put together. I'm going to start working on a couple of my lineups. Even though I won't be able to answer, I do like to have the chance to watch the score. Fantasy Aces is the place where New Yorkers can go. Of course, they do offer PGA also, DFS style, so you can get involved with that. But most importantly, the thing to do right now after you listen to this is head on over to Scout Fantasy, the 2016 Masters Cheat Sheet, presented by my guy right here, Sean Childs. Take a crack at making yourself the next fantasy sports millionaire. Sean, who would have thought that we'd be giving away $1 million in a major golf tournament in fantasy sports?
That's pretty exciting to me.
Yeah, I bet so. So there you have it right there. I want to thank you, each and every last single one of you, for checking out Scout Fantasy Presents Takeover, our DFS Masters Special. Like I said, once again, head on over to Scout Fantasy. Get the cheat sheet. Get rocking and rolling. Not to mention all you baseball fans out there. Even if you're not a baseball fan, I really love DFS Fantasy Baseball. Hop on over there. Tommy G in the rundown for our premium subscribers. Also, my man Nate Wetzer getting it done. And check for me doing some of the videos over on Scout Fantasy. Once again, for Sean Childs, I am the fantasy executive, Corey Parson. Good luck in the Masters, and hope you start your own fantasy tradition like none other.